Sportsfeld, we are tied up 1-1 in the NBA Finals. Jake is going through it all day.
I'm so mad.
A cloud followed you into this room today.
I've been debating all day, like, how mad am I about the game?
Right.
It's gone between, like, it's 1-1 and it's the NBA Finals to, like, I'm so fucking mad.
Yeah, the more, it seems like the more I hear you talk about it, the more the pitch in your voice sharpens.
It's just...
Maybe that isn't the right term.
It's just, it was right there is the thing.
Sure.
I'm not even mad about, like, I mean, I am mad about certain specifics about the game.
Very
like,
mad, I would say.
I'm more mad just about like that. I can tell this in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks. That's gonna be the game we look back on. Like, oh, if
it's the proverbial one that got away.
Yeah.
I think here's the thing, and we're gonna get into this.
It's also that.
Yeah.
I thought game one against Milwaukee
right.
was gonna be that game for this year. That like at this point I'd be like, oh. If only this, that, the other. And then we won. And it was like, okay, we can erase that entirely. Don't have to dwell on it. Now we're back.
I would say, I'll say this, to temper that with our... Each team has lost a game, right?
Yeah,
and
sure.
I feel like, factually...
factually, yes. Yes.
I think both teams can look at their loss and feel the same way, where they said, we didn't play very well, but we almost pulled it out in the end. Both teams can say that.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, disagree with me if you'd like.
One team is just the Golden State Warriors.
Right.
And they're going home.
Right.
To a very hard-to-play-in building.
Yes, but they were just in a very hard-to-play-in building.
Yes.
Except for the third quarter. Super easy to play in. Couldn't have been easier to play in the third quarter. Before we get... We have a great guest this week. I'm very excited.
Yeah. It's going to be good stuff. I'm so mad. I know. That's not a slight against the guest.
We're supposed to take the temperature of the city, the star-studded city.
Yeah.
I'm going to say your temperature is right on.
Yeah.
We're boiling hot.
I actually have no idea what the, like, general temperature of the city is after that game. Because I feel like there's so much of, like, happy to be here-ness, which is totally fair and totally
fine.
That's
waning. I think game one sort of eliminated all the happy to be here.
And yeah.
I was like, ooh, I can taste it.
I had said to people on Saturday night that if they won game two, I would, like, start fully believing.
You're still not there.
I'll say this, a lot
hinges on injuries, right?
Warriors' health is basically
all that matters.
They could have one guy playing on Wednesday.
Yes.
Or Clay playing with one leg. Or I will say this, I don't think that it's the rational part of my brain looks at the first two games and it does sort of have that. If the Raptors were to win one in Oakland, I wouldn't be like, whoa, that's impossible.
Right. They don't look out of place. They didn't steal anything.
And as we've discussed 100 times in the last month and a half, game-to-game momentum in the NBA does not exist.
Proven in game two.
And what happened the game before is not necessarily what's going to happen the next game.
Correct.
So, I'm happy that the Raptors lost to the Warriors in the finals, and I'm not like, well, it's over.
Right.
It just feels like it's going to regret that one.
A star-studded game two, though.
Yeah.
Barack Obama in the building.
Doesn't get much heavier star power than that.
Crazy. It's crazy.
He was wearing the same outfit I wore to the Young Artist Awards when I was 11, I noticed. The leather jacket over the black shirt.
That's the Fitzpo was.
He's ripping off
the Young Artist Awards.
Yeah, Obama's ripping off a very small Jews style.
Oh boy, I like that. We're gonna write to the guest because I'm excited about our guest. Also in the building for all these games, you may know him, NBC's Blind Spot,
star-studded crown,
Rich.com in the house. Our guest, you also know him as one of the most fired up fans on Raptors Twitter. A joy to follow throughout the playoffs.
Yes.
Gets into it. Always posting great stuff. Our guest this week, Enes Esmer in the house.
Wow. What an intro. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you for coming.
Happy to be here. Come on.
We're going to glaze over the good news first.
Okay.
Game one was great.
Oh.
Pascal Siakam made history.
I had a great time in game one.
We all had a good time. I think game one is your blueprint for what has to happen for wins. And when everyone
has to play well.
Well, no. It's Siakam and Gasol.
Yeah, right?
When those guys step up to help Kawhi, they have a great chance of winning. And when they don't, they don't.
Yeah.
In a more general sense, shots we hit in game one, we didn't hit in game two.
We had so many open looks last night that just didn't go in.
Yeah. That was a tough part of it.
We shot
12 more shots than them and had one less made field goal.
We held the Golden State Warriors scoreless for 5 minutes in the fourth quarter and went 2-for-12 in that span.
That was amazing to watch, though, and it's a totally new feeling watching the Raptors play defense and actually getting excited that they have another gear where they can shut the other team down. They did it against Philly, right? They did it against Philly in Game 7. They did it against the Bucks. Like, they just have this presence now where they actually can step up.
They had hit two of those two more of those 12 shots, they win the game.
Or one of the eight that they missed in during that 18-0 run.
Yes.
Agonizing. That run at the end in that very same span you were talking about, that 5 minutes where basically both teams had went shut out. The Raps had three, like, golden looks.
Yeah. And they're by guys who, as you said, in game one, hit those looks. It wasn't, you know, say what you want about Danny Green's playoff performance, but
sure,
it wasn't Danny Green taking nine shots there. Like, it was Fred and Pascal. It was guys who 48 hours ago were the heroes of the town.
Yeah. See, that's why I'm the opposite of how you feel right now. Because I feel like that's
all. I need that.
That's all it takes to me. I mean, first of all, going back to game one, it was the greatest. I was lucky enough to get to go. And did you guys go to the game?
No.
Have you watched
it? No, goodness,
sure.
I can't.
Pardon me. Well, I can tell you my weird existential journey of realizing what I spent on the tickets on StubHub by accident afterwards.
We should mention, Ennis dripped out in NBA Finals gear right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wearing a Kawhi.
Well, it's a Kawhi shot shirt, so I'm just trying to generate some good attention, and I got the finals. I mean, come on. You have to.
I got to do it.
I was debating getting the Warriors versus Raptors. Mm.
I don't get that shirt. I saw a lot of people in it. I don't get,
it's historic.
Yeah, but it's like you love basketball kind of thing. Mm. You can't really claim an allegiance if you're wearing both of them.
Exactly.
And then I don't want to have a Warriors logo on my chest ever.
No, of course not.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
What a nightmare that would be. But that first game was the greatest sporting event I'm pretty sure I'll ever go to in my entire life.
Really?
I think it's possible. I mean, I had tickets to the bat flip game, and I couldn't go because I had to work.
Oof.
And I had tickets to game six against Milwaukee, but I had to go to my girlfriend's sister's wedding.
That's right. I saw you were not there.
Yeah, I was not. I really wanted to go to that game, but it was a lovely affair. The bride was radiant. No, it's fine.
But, absolutely.
Yeah, I feel like game two was – I'm the opposite of you in terms of like if a game that close and we could have won, that's kind of all I'm looking for at this point.
And like I think the rational side of me will appreciate that at some point.
But even the irrational side. Like I just – we could have won the game in the last 30 seconds. Like one thing goes another way.
How many – steals have we seen Kawhi cut off a passing?
I can't believe he didn't steal that ball.
It looked like we got the ball off Curry twice in that last possession, the double. Like they're not indestructible anymore.
No, it seems not.
Yeah.
I am concerned. I think if it wasn't going back to Oakland immediately after, I would be much like if game one and two had been flipped, I think I would be feeling much better.
Sure, because of the whole momentum thing. And then we have three days to analyze what they really are. And yeah, you know,
even though I just said momentum doesn't exist five minutes ago.
It does when you lose. And when you win, you get pretty pumped when you win. I didn't think we'd lose another game all season after
that.
I know,
I kind of felt the same.
Oh my God.
There's some buts.
It's like
it was great to be in there, but you want to win when Klay Thompson doesn't play the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And when Looney gets hurt.
And when they don't score for five
fucking
minutes.
And when Steph is sick. And when you shut them down.
Sick?
Steph was sick. Yeah, that's why he didn't play well in the first half. He had to go back into the
He had an IV.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
These are things I don't tell you.
Yeah, you weren't at the game.
I wasn't
that's
watching.
Right.
I got to have
ABC was all over it.
I got to have the radio in my ears.
Yeah, he was sick all morning.
No kidding.
Yeah. That's why he didn't like score in the first half.
Yeah, it seems like a game where it's getting more and more like we should have won it. I mean, we just look.
It's tough.
And this is a dumb thing to say already, but
no.
If you take out the portion of the game where they scored 18 and we scored zero, we cleaned up. Just think of it that way. We gave them a 20-0 lead to start the game, and we only lost by five.
I will in a way, I was thinking about that this morning, and in a way that does make me feel better, only in the sense of we talked during the Bucks series about how, I think it was after game four, or game five. I can't remember which. Game four, I think.
Yeah, I was just listening to it before us. After we tied it.
I was saying...
You thought we were going to lose in Milwaukee.
For sure.
I mean, who didn't?
Who didn't?
Yeah, sure.
But the point was, going into that game, there was indisputable proof that except for the last 4 minutes of the fourth quarter in game one, we had been... And game two, which we just don't talk about.
Yeah.
We were the better team for the majority of that series. And then that sort of ended up being how the series shook out. The better team, the team that was playing better, won. I would say, except for that 18-0 stretch, we've been the better team in seven of eight quarters in the two games. So there is an argument there that if that were to continue, even in Oakland, which is a tough place to play.
Is it tougher than Toronto? Is it considered tougher than
I don't know.
It's not like they still have to play with five guys, right? Like it's not they don't get like a – I mean, aside from the refs that play for their team.
I can never tell how much like home court in the NBA actually matters until like we win and it's like, oh, it's because of our crowd.
Wouldn't be doing the job if I didn't point out that Blazers fans could also be like, well, we led by double digits in all four of our games.
That's true.
And then got swept. So this is what Golden State does,
that's
right?
That's true. That's very true.
Like, you can't say it after you lose a series.
I understand.
It's like a cold comfort at that point.
There's definitely things on both sides. The Warriors made great adjustments. They turned all the attention on Steph into, I don't even know, 10 backdoor wide open lob tip. Like, if that wasn't driving you nuts, that drove me nuts.
Seeing Andrew Bogut seeing him on the floor at all.
He wasn't on the team 2.5 months ago.
God, he's such a human being. Too.
Andrew Bogut getting like,
and he's just like, coming up like, oh sure, I'll play tonight. That'd be great. Oh yeah, sure. Just pass me a lob.
I couldn't believe he was in the game, let alone scoring points.
It seemed like, I didn't know Looney was out at that point. It just seemed like a tactical move.
Yeah,
I was just shocked.
Bruised his collarbone.
Yeah.
Kawhi crashed into him, I guess.
Yes. He'll do that. Kawhi. I mean, we do this every week. What can you even say about Kawhi Leonard?
He is
ridiculous.
So clearly hurt.
Is he?
Yeah, he's got a knee thing apparently.
And so what you're saying, it's just limiting. He's not bursting as much as he was. But I mean,
his floor when he's hurt is like 34-17.
Yeah, exactly.
The offensive rebounding last night when it was like, no, we're getting the ball and scoring in this possession. That was unbelievable. I've never seen that.
He got
from
two
a Raptors
offensive
player.
Boards on the same possession.
I've never
that
seen
was
that.
Incredible. We were apparently. I looked it up. I don't know this information. I had to look it up, but
we're all just looking at
23-0 in second chance points.
Crazy. Wow.
Which I guess offsets how many more shots we missed than they did.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was 32 field goals to 31 for them. But I mean, that's still impressive. We won the rebounding battle. Like in general, we usually win rebounding battles.
We should have won that game.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing when I see that. And I'm like, we found a way to plug up the leak before it got out of hand, you know, cut it to 2 points with 30 seconds left. I actually thought the move for the steal. Instead, you know, I'm hearing all these talking heads are all talking about we should have fouled Draymond. That's one way to do it, but then he's probably going to hit it. You know, who knows? There's different routes.
The thing. They forced a travel.
Yeah.
Yes,
and basically got the steal. Yeah. I do understand that you should have fouled him, and I can see that. But, like, that strategy couldn't have worked much better than it did.
Yeah.
That's true.
Aside from the three that won the game.
Yeah.
We're doing this a lot in this episode.
I just think
they did lose, so yeah.
There was what, like 3.4 seconds between shot and game clock?
Yes.
Like, something like that. Yeah.
Best case, if you don't foul, Iguodala misses that shot, which he took too early, by the way.
Yeah.
If he misses that, they get the rebound with 4.5 seconds left, and you got to go length of the floor. And like,
we didn't have any timeouts left, right?
I don't think so.
And that sucked too. When Kawhi got trapped near the half court and had to waste a time. That was bad.
But my thing, just for the fouling argument,
please,
is you get the board.
Pro fouling?
Yes, I'm pro fouling.
Right, I want to hear it.
You get the board off the Misty Iguodala three, you have 4.5 seconds-ish to go the length of the floor and get, at best, a long three for the win.
Well, what about a two?
I just feel like 4.5 seconds to go the whole way and find a good look.
Try
tough.
To draw a foul, you know, just drive to the line.
But if you foul Draymond, is like a 60 to 70% free throw shooter. If he misses one, you have 20 plus seconds to set up a possession to go for the either a quick two for one, go for the tie. You get that foul. Like, there's just, I just feel like there were more. I agree with you. Mm-hmm. The defense on
couldn't have been
that
much
was perfect. Was literally perfect.
Yeah,
but
except for the wide open,
except for
the open three that won the game. Yeah.
But that was after a
you
travel.
Could do that all day
after a travel and a near steal. Like you're not going to get much better than that.
Yeah.
But if I think there's more options for them if they had fouled. There
right.
Are more. There's the margin for error against the Warriors all the time is so slim, and I think you have to give yourself more options to fuck it up against the Warriors.
At least by time, right?
Yeah.
That was the frustrating thing. That was the double-edged sword of all those offensive rebounds because we were getting the ball back, which was incredible to watch and exciting to cheer for, but we were eating up so much time on the clock, you know?
I'm glad we mentioned fouling because – and I don't want – listen, I don't want this game to do a thing again about me against Kyle Lowry, but
– oh, no.
He's got to stop fouling out of big games.
But when three of them were rubbish.
That sixth one is inexcusable.
The sixth one was bad.
You cannot foul 90 feet from your own basket
with five. Yeah.
Oh. But see, that's what the NBA refereeing conspiracy does to players like Kyle Lowry. It throws them off their game. It puts them on tilt, so then they have no choice but to try heroic, crazy, stupid things.
It did seem in the first like 2.5 quarters, like I thought the reffing kind of evened out a little bit near the end, by the end of the game, but those first 2.5 quarters, it did seem like if they tap the Warriors on the arm.
It was keeping the game close. It was keeping it from being...
wild.
It was unbelievable. There was Ibaka on one where he was just like setting up in the post and just literally put his hand out.
It was crazy. It was like
Gasol got one for standing still.
Yeah. Oh, the moving screen?
Yeah.
And he got one on a drive where he just did this with his arms up. And also,
this one's a little more debatable. That was a clear path foul on Fred VanVleet.
See, I was behind one of the nets.
He was ahead of him, and there was no one behind.
So it should have been two shots in the ball. Oof, we got lucky on that.
I don't know if it actually was, because I don't totally understand that rule.
Yeah.
But from where I was sitting on television. Yeah. From where I was sitting on television, he's in front of him. There's no one between him and the basket. He got fouled.
Yep. And that's what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, when they review it, they have to call the office, and then they have to decide if they're going to...
That's right. Though they did give us the out-of-bounds call that... may or may not have touched Gasol.
I couldn't tell either. I watched that 100 times.
It didn't.
I could not tell. Yeah,
evidently, it was on the big screen. It did not touch him.
Yeah, it was that. It's that swipe up of his arm was the question.
Yeah, and it was like he matrixed it a little bit. Yeah.
He looked great doing it though.
Yeah. And see, that was one of those things where is it just like he just stops shooting if he doesn't hit the first couple?
Seems like
it's not the whole series, but it just everything about their offense changes when he's decisive.
And it's so weird because he's so strong in the post as a defender, but when he's backing a player down, that is not his wheelhouse at all.
No.
Like, he doesn't really have post moves like you would expect for somebody who knows how to defend post moves.
And he passed up three, maybe four open looks last night.
Late in the game, too. Yeah.
It's true. You're right, though. It's like, we've seen it. It's like when he's firing away and has the green light in his, either whether it's Nurse or it's in his brain or whatever. When he's a green, he doesn't even have to hit them, really.
Yeah.
Like, if he's firing away, it just changes the whole flow of everything. Oh, my God, we should have won that game.
Why do they put out the last 2-minute report? Why do they make that public?
I don't
so
know.
Dumb.
Like, it's
just for this.
It's internal the whole rest of the game. They do this all game. Why do they do that? What? Like, unless someone's getting fired.
Fined at the very least. Like,
or just they have to come out and hold, like, at the next press conference, at the next post game, they have to apologize. I want Tony Brothers with the NBA logo and the YouTube TV behind him, just sitting there, sour as he ever is, Grumpy Cat, just like, rest in peace, Grumpy Cat. Sorry. Is that too soon?
Too soon on Grumpy Cat.
Too soon to make a Grumpy Cat reference. just saying like I messed up. And I don't even know if it was him, but and we also have a good record when Tony Brothers plays,
I think that was the first game we've actually lost.
We're like 15-1 or 15-2 or something like that.
It's rough out there.
Yeah. It is.
Lots of things that have the potential to swing this series, none of them bigger than Kevin Durant.
He does seem like just that time bomb where it's just like, we got to get our wins in before he comes back.
In case of emergency, break the Kevin Durant glass.
I'm going to go out on the limb here.
Yes.
And say, so the reports are, if he's back, game 4 sounds like the target time. The Toronto Raptors must win game 3.
If
they are down 2-1 and Kevin Durant comes back in Oakland, they're fucked.
It's probably good for our hubris that this episode is after game 2. Because if you had caught me immediately after game 1, I was like, Durant's not playing in this series. Are you kidding? He's flying with the team because they know he's not playing and there's no point. I have heard he is not limping, if that makes it better or worse in your brains.
When did he stop limping? Was it like a Kaiser Soze? Like he's just walking all the time, his hands and he hasn't been limping the whole time?
You know who is limping though?
Clay?
Clay Thompson.
Clay and DeMarcus Cousins or Iguodala, one of the two.
Iguodala also has a hamstring.
Yeah, reportedly in wheelchairs.
Yes, Boogie was in the wheelchair.
Boogie and Clay or Boogie and Iggy?
Boogie and Clay.
Cousins looked good last night, which is very scary.
Yeah,
that
sucked.
He seemed to be getting more and more comfortable as the game went on.
Speaking of that game,
because he actually handled, you know what I mean? He had a couple dishes.
Definitely a guy who played
one game. Handles, you know what I mean? And he was flexing them like.
Give him look at a guy on his second game back. Yeah. It's like, okay,
I'm
going to play basketball.
To mention that. Game 1 hubris. If you had caught me after game 1 and said DeMarcus Cousins is starting game 2, I would have laughed. And
he looked
said,
like
yes.
He looked like he was just immobile and
he's a top 5 center in the NBA.
I would have thought Marc Gasol is now Marc Gasol plus Jonas Valanciunas for every game. 20-7s for everybody.
Yeah, this is a really hard series because I don't know. For every point that makes me feel optimistic, there is an equal and opposite thing that makes me really not.
Which I will, from a rose...
like, you know what I mean? That's such progress for us, though.
It's totally. From a rose-tinted perspective, if you had told me, not even 3 weeks ago, the day of game one, that in a Raptors-Warriors final, the best thing we could say going into game is 1-1, and the best thing we could say going through is we have no fucking idea, and it's who knows?
True.
I would take that. I would take that over, oh, the Warriors are absolutely wrecking our shit.
Because like you could give me, you could say to me, me from 2 weeks from now, and says the Warriors win the next three games and this is over. I'd be like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Or you could say the Raptors push this to seven and then it, whoever wins, or Raptors win in six. I will believe anything going down the stretch here.
Yeah. So it is possible, and it's just going to take one more win. I'm going to say two things. I think that we can win game three in terms of it being a must win. I'm not sure because I don't think Kevin Durant's coming back.
See, I
think all of it is optics and all of it is strategy. And I think like getting him up there, getting him in shots. I don't know. You know, people are like, well, he was in flip flops. So how do you, you know, you don't really count that as a practice. And maybe he will. But I don't think he's going to play. And I think they're dragging this out because it's a psychological leverage, I think. And for Steve Kerr and everybody in the Warriors organization that's behind it, I'm not even talking about like conspiracy level. I think it's good to make the other team think.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Kevin Durant's coming. We got to step up. Yeah, exactly.
I will say, to that point, if that's the case, if Kevin Durant is not playing in game four, even if he plays in game five, obviously the Raptors have to take one in Oakland.
Yeah.
They have to.
Without question.
But if Durant does not play in game four, then I'm not convinced that game three is a must win. Just one of them is a must win, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like, I think we just have to split the series.
If they lose game three and then Durant does come out in game four, they're fucked.
Well, is there a way we can see if he's going to come back before game three so we know if we have a win or not? That would be good.
Prognosticating here.
Are we all going to say that if Durant plays, forget about it?
No.
No, I'm not convinced.
Depends on what the series is when he comes back.
Right.
I got two reasons, I think, that it's not forget about
okay.
it. One, it's a calf tear.
Right.
So it is possible that it's I don't know how you just reintegrate with something where your leg is severely compromised. And it's not like he's been playing on it. Like whatever's going on with Kawhi, he's been playing on it. He's adjusting. True. He's adapting. I'm not saying, you know, I don't honestly know enough about it to speculate. But if he's not even in practice, it seems like he'd be a ways away. And also the thing that we have going, because you're talking about all the injuries to the Warriors, we have OG Anunoby sitting right there. And his injury was about, you know, like an appendix burst is not the same as having like a part of your body compromised to where you don't know if you can play on it. If his strength is up, I think there's a good chance he comes back for game three or four.
I think there's a good chance, but the fact that Nurse pointed out that he lost a ton of weight.
Yeah.
And OG's whole thing is that he's a great defender.
Yeah.
But if there's a guy bigger than him, he's already a skinny dude who's going to get bullied in the post.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if Durant's not playing. I'm not sure they have, like, Iggy's strong, but he's also hurt.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure they have a ton of guys who are like, going to push him around at the three and the four.
Yeah.
But I worry about a skinnier OG Anunoby. But I think his presence can only help us.
That's my optimistic spin, is that he's going to be like, if they bring back Durant, we're going to counter with OG and he's going to be thrown onto him and shut him down. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, he had the guy LeBron James in high leverage. You know what I mean? In the playoffs. I just think like
it's not his fault that buzzer beater went in.
No, it is not. That insane shot. Yeah, that's not his fault. Just like the Kawhi shot isn't Joel Embiid's fault.
Correct.
It was magnets. We all know it was magnets.
That's right. Fred used them in game one.
Yeah.
The magnets.
I just don't think we're at the point now where the inevitabilities of the Warriors don't mean we can't win.
It does seem, and obviously I'm guilty of this, and part of that's Raptors brain and part of that's just buying into the narrative.
Yeah.
But I do think that there has been an overwhelming sense in the last 3-4 days that it's the Warriors are done or the Warriors are broken. Not the Raptors are really good.
Yeah.
And I do think there is, Raptor brain does cancel that out because it's like, oh, I've seen this episode before. Okay, cool. But how many times do they have to prove us wrong in these playoffs? Where like this team, as you said, they have that lockdown defense that on the road they have proven can work and be effective. They have Kawhi Leonard.
Yep.
They have the shooters if they're shooting. And they've gone on, as we said a couple minutes ago, they won game five in Milwaukee, a game that I don't think any of us thought they were going
to
win.
Winning game three was the overtime where it was like,
oh, yeah.
Did it on 3-0.
They won game four in Philly, too, after getting stomped in game three. Every must-win game they've needed to win, they've won.
And they've done it, as you said, twice on the road.
Right?
So
a win in Milwaukee, a win in a win in Philly, two in Orlando. We're not. Are we going to discount those Orlando wins? Oh, we are? Okay,
I sort of forgot.
Orlando was the first. I don't know if you guys remember.
It's been a long few weeks.
They're called the Magic.
Yeah.
Their logo, their slogan has something about ice or something.
Remember DJ Augustin? Man, that was a...
Remember worrying about DJ Augustin? That was a dark day.
Yeah, speaking of momentum. Yeah.
Boy. So how are you guys feeling, like, truly, deeply, madly?
I'm conflicted.
Yes.
I have all these good, rational points we've made are true. And I can absolutely see a scenario in which they go into Golden State on Wednesday and they win.
Yeah.
But I'm not feeling good.
Ennis?
I'm not feeling bad, is how I'll put it. Which, okay. Like, I'm going to tell you, my trajectory for this playoffs, I got to go to game 7 against Philly. And, that was the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. I also introduced a new kind of, like, fan crying that I don't think I've ever done before, which was, like, my face wasn't changing at all for the last, like, 4 or 5 minutes of that fourth quarter, but just tears were coming out,
which
I'm calling stress crying.
I like it.
Because I literally, it's just like, just imagine we're just talking to each other and just tears. No change to my facial expression whatsoever, to the point where I couldn't believe, I thought I was sweating. And then I looked and I was like, oh, no, I'm crying, but I'm not, I don't look like I'm crying. So after that shot, I feel like that shot exorcised so much about being a Raptors fan that, and considering how great the Bucks were cruising, I went into that series like comfortable in the notion that we might not win that series.
Yes.
And all of it, as it ties into Kawhi Leonard, I feel like I thought, the one thing I realized was like, if we lose to the Bucks, if I knew that Kawhi was staying, I wouldn't be worried because I would be like, we're going to be here every year.
This is the classic mailbag question.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? And this is the one. So I think like that Bucks series, what I'm excited about, and you don't know how much it happens in today's NBA with like players jumping from team to team whenever they want and all that. And not that that's not good for the sport, but the idea, like I want Philly, Milwaukee, and Toronto to be like in rivalries for the next 5 years.
You know what I mean? At least two, because then in 2021, Giannis is...
Well, yeah, sorry, yeah. And then there'll be a much worse rivalry. And Milwaukee will be very upset because we'll have Giannis and Kawhi.
And Kawhi.
And no one will ever score.
And no one will ever score.
They'll win games like 82-0.
Yeah, it'll be incredible. And then by that point, they will have innovated like the five-point shot like they do in the celebrity game.
Yeah.
Where it just lights up for a couple seconds.
It's like NBA
and
then
it goes away. So I want that to happen. And that's why I was like, I was looking forward to a future where Kawhi resigns, OG gets better, everybody else gets better next year, and we have Philly and Milwaukee to contend with for years. And that would be fun to me. So now the fact that we got to the finals, it all feels like I'm okay with it if we lose because I don't think we're not going to be back. All those series before this, and it's no disrespect to anybody who got us as far as we wanted, it always felt like we're never going to get there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that
when
totally.
We lost those series, when we lost against LeBron.
Absolutely.
There were points. I mean, we lost against Orlando. It felt like, oh no, is this possible? You know what I mean? Even though the personnel is like 90% different.
It's just Raptor brand.
Yeah. Which I think is just, you know, we'd never, and again, like the media didn't, I mean, there's a lot of people actually predicting the Raptors are going to win this series.
It's pretty split.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Jalen Rose thinks we're
going
to win.
And and all the ones who said that we would had it going the distance, more or less.
Yeah.
Which I still think is the case. And we said that before game one. If the Raptors were going to win, they weren't winning in 4 or 5.
No.
Or even 6.
Yeah. I did. After game one, I said Raptors in 5.
You did?
I said this is 2014 Spurs Heat. We have all the unfinished business. They're a team that's going to break up and they already know what their legacy is.
Yeah.
The Warriors with Durant and Curry and Draymond and Klay and Iggy are already an all-time team. If they lose this series, they're already the best team we've ever seen.
Yeah.
True. I will say this one
and
more
and they're
point.
Probably going to be a little relieved when it's over.
You think so?
After this season?
A little bit.
The Durant drama.
They're sort of tired of all this. They're playing 100 games a year every year.
Oh.
I know it's what they do, but you sort of how the Heat looked after they lost to the Spurs, where they were just like, it was fun, but now LeBron's going to Cleveland. It's like, it's been fun, but now Durant's leaving and they're going to see who they are as individuals. Maybe I'm wrong, and I'm probably wrong.
So you're saying it's like, hold on, let me get this straight, because I've heard so many conflicting things about, you know, the team being better without Durant, them wanting him not to be there, people thinking that they'd be better off without him. That all sounds nuts to me.
It's crazy.
Quite frankly.
Yeah, absolutely not.
But now you're saying that you think that they would be relieved to not – advance this far next year?
No, I just think – no, that's not true. Obviously, they love playing –
privilege problem they love heard in my life.
In the finals. Yeah. But I think there was a lot of drama around this team that just sort of – like I'm sure that Durant doesn't like hearing that the team might be better without him.
We know that he's a guy who takes everything personally.
He doesn't like that his legacy has been minimized by joining this team.
Yeah.
That he turned into a bad guy by joining this team.
Yeah.
That he got the why I'm joining the Athletic, all those jokes, all the – I think that matters to him, and I can see him – listen, if he's going to go to the Knicks, he's mistaken about it getting easier versus harder.
Oh, my God.
But I just
think – would anybody choose the Knicks?
I think there's a degree of relief when this is over for them.
I could see it. I don't know if it's true or not, but obviously it's this show, so
the only one with something on the line. Durant's the only one with something on the line. The rest of them are minted.
See, I think that all of the media scrutiny, all the drama is all media generated.
Sure.
Like it's because there was that footage, there was a pre-game or post-game where Kerr was answering questions and wanted the music turned down, and then Draymond wouldn't turn the music down.
Yes.
And it became infighting in the locker room. Kerr has lost the ear of his players. He probably didn't even know who wanted it. And he's like, well, I'm going to turn my music down. Like, that's everything gets so magnified on that team that I think even the notion of the drama, I don't know. I just think that the team is more insulated to that. I mean, obviously, you hear about Kevin Durant going online so much, which, why are you doing that? Why never, never read the comments, KD? But I mean, I think that I don't think it's as bad as everyone makes it look. And that's because people have to generate all these stories and attention that, I don't know. I think it'd be just fine if he stayed there.
I mean, they'd still win a lot.
Yeah.
I think to that point, it gets generated. Like, it wouldn't be generated if that wasn't there. But I do see your point. Before we move on, and that's one last question.
Okay.
What's it like to watch a game with you?
What kind of
fan are you? Because Jake's a four-quarter clapper. He's all four quarters. Yeah. He's every bucket. He's a clapper.
Yeah.
I build over the course of the game. I'm almost stoic in the first quarter. And then some buckets in the second, and I'm like, yeah. And then the third, I get on that little run. And then the fourth, I'm standing the entire time.
I'm trying to stand almost the entire time. I try to get – I like look for people who are the people in your section who are leading that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it takes a bit of ignoring of the – you can tell when there's someone's just a jerk and someone's just like, no, everyone should be standing. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of back analysis. But I'm making noise as much as I can the whole game. Yeah, absolutely. I think there were some games like that second Orlando. I mean, they started out like 11-0, right? In that second Orlando game after they lost game one. And there are times where I'll be sort of stunned into silence. But even during that 18-0 run, I'm yelling most of the time. I'm yelling most of the time. I'm not heckling or anything, but I'm usually yelling stuff like, this is exciting.
The classic thing we love to yell.
This is stressful. I like to, if I
you like
feel
to yell
like,
at your emotions?
I feel like, yeah, I'm conflicted. Yeah. I yelled that while, because people started booing Del Curry when they were announcing all the former Raptors greats, and I just started cheering, this is complicated. Because I'm still cheering. I'm still making noise. I'm not booing, but it is complicated.
It is complicated.
Yeah.
We're part of Steph's origin story.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which great crisis.
We created the monster that would destroy
us. We helped. We gave him the rims. Shoot all you want, we said.
God damn
it. Rims.
Fuck that up.
We do that. So no, I'm definitely making a lot of noise. I'm saying let's go Raptors as much. But I had no voice after game one.
What if you're at home? What if you're watching it at home? If that ever happens to you.
Well, you ask my friends. I mean, I've hosted a few like group gatherings and they've all gone badly. We watched game three against Philly and game one and two against Milwaukee. And yeah, there's a lot of pacing. And head shaking. You know what I mean? It's like, I can't do it when we're, it's like when I can't watch J games if we're tied and we're pitching.
Wouldn't worry about that.
Because, no, sure. That's fine. I mean, I don't, but you know what I mean? When that was happening, like I would only watch half the game, but I'll yell a bunch and get pretty worked up.
The J's now, it's like, if we're losing by less than four, I'm pretty confident.
Yeah. Right. I'm a 10-point lead guy. When we're up 10, I love it.
Against the Warriors. We were talking about this last week. Yeah. Against the Warriors. As I learned in game one, there is no lead.
Right. What's the number against the Warriors? What's the number and time left? The lead and time left before you
like 10 points, but
we've won this game.
When Kyle hit the three to go up like 13 with a minute left, that was the first time all game I was like, we got this.
I'll tell you something. Honestly, speaking of crying, when Kyle hit that three, I cried like a child would cry. That was the one time. It came out of me. I never expected. I'm doing a lot of crying. My girlfriend's really taught me that crying's not bad anymore.
It's good for you.
I'm not sure that that's true.
Oh, we love to cry.
It's great.
This whole show is crying.
It's nice. But yeah, I fully just like, I didn't, it wasn't like cheering crying. I sort of doubled over. It was like, So proud of Kyle for hitting that shot, and that's when it felt like it was over. But it took going up 12 with 35 seconds left
absolutely
to feel like the Warriors couldn't somehow make a run.
I had some embarrassing cries in that Jays 2015.
Yeah?
I cried during the national anthem of Price's debut.
Sure.
Because the building was full, and I was like, I literally cannot believe this is happening.
See, I don't even stand for the national anthem usually. I prefer to go out to the bathroom because...
Why would you waste your time with the national anthem?
I mean, yeah, it's ridiculous, but that one time...
Price's debut was like I couldn't believe it.
Sure. Oh, yeah, that was amazing. I've never been so sincerely excited about every detail as I was before game one of the finals. Like, got there as early as we could, just things I don't normally, like I was like dancing and stuff. Like I don't normally dance when they play music.
I remember when we, in 2015, you and I went to, I think it was game two of the ALDS and just seeing it, you know, on the field.
Yeah.
Like American League Division Series and the, you know, it's obviously there's the good and the bad, but seeing like the media attention. And seeing Doris Burke in Toronto. It's like,
I saw Charles Barkley and Doris Burke hug.
Stephen A. Smith,
in the house.
Yeah, I walked in. I was like, oh, Brian Windhorst. It was like a little kid. I'm like, who are the people who am I fanboying out about right now?
All right. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
We have more ridiculous questions to get to. We're going to open up the mailbag right after this. We are back after that very brief away.
Yeah.
Lots of great questions.
Longer for us than it was for you.
And it's got people stirred up on Twitter for good questions. Your first question, which Warriors bench guy do you dislike the most now? And who do you expect you'll dislike the most by the end of the series? Gotta be Andrew Bogut.
Of course it's Andrew Bogut. He's not only annoying on the court, but he's annoying off the court.
I would say the only thing for that is that the word now is in there, implying I didn't already dislike Andrew Bogut.
Is he a particularly unlikable player? I don't think I've ever thought about him long enough.
He's a Make America Great Again guy, I believe.
Oh, yeah, then it's him.
Which, again, as discussed, not unique to professional athletes.
Sure.
He's a loud one about, it's like a Trevor Bauer kind of deal.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Really?
I'll give you a follow-up, a dark horse. Quinn Cook.
And why?
You're going to do all this. You're going to do all this tough defensive stuff and shut down, and just for Quinn Cook to hit open threes? Bury me.
See, that's a good sports reason to hate someone.
I would have said before the series, I was like money, if I could have bet on it, I would have bet on Jarebko being that guy.
I thought
he was going to bury us.
I think he's the guy that if he hit a shot, I would just be like, how is he getting a shot?
I absolutely thought he was going to be that guy that like just typical Raptor killer, just like 25 points out of fucking nowhere.
And yeah,
like,
right.
Oh, okay.
But no, they just spread that out among six
it
guys.
It seems, yeah.
Jeez. Yeah, it's just anybody in the floor can do a backdoor dunk.
Yeah.
Speaking of your
evidently
post-game one hubris, we sure paid for every time in the 3 days between games that I said, boy, the Warriors bench is terrible.
That was every talking head thing. It was like, who else is going to score for that?
It's not super untrue still. It's just like, again, when you give them an open dunk, they're going to dunk it because they're in the NBA.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. And everyone in the NBA is really good at basketball.
It's also complicated to be rooting against Alphonso McKinney.
Yeah.
Even like, I don't want him to do well, but I like that McCaw hit a three in the first game too, that he came out.
The 905ers, I feel like, always have a special place.
Yeah.
But I do wish he was on a different team.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Maybe our team. We could use a nice rangy small forward.
But doesn't it make you feel good that like the guy that couldn't even crack the rotation is like really important to the Warriors, basically?
No way.
When we're not playing in the NBA Finals, yes.
Fair enough. If the NBA incorporated a midseason league cup, which I believe they have talked about. How much interest would you have? Should every league do this? And what format would you like to see?
I hate this idea.
You hate the idea. I like the idea.
The one thing that professional sports leagues don't need is more games that are not the playoffs.
Little mini tournaments.
But now what are the stakes? Like what is
for
the
a league
thing?
Cup?
They've been league cup or the domestic. Deciding like the 7-8 seed.
I do love the idea of the play-in tournament.
Yeah.
Which if it came at the end of the...
But I feel like then you have to shorten the regular season.
Well, right now, does the All-Star game have any actual bearing on anything?
No.
Because
I know in baseball, it used to be like... Yeah, they don't even do... Oh, right, because it's just anybody, right? Yeah, what am I saying? I don't know. I guess the question is like, is the NBA final still the important thing? Because if so, how do you get
I think it must be.
Fan energy and attention and then get everybody to like... It's just more wear and tear on these guys in the middle of a season?
I feel like if the idea is that it's a league cup akin to European soccer,
right?
That works because there's 9 fucking leagues in England.
Yeah.
And then there's a tournament. The NBA would just be playing against themselves.
Yeah.
It's just mini playoffs in the middle of the season. And to me, I don't see the point.
Yeah, I think it's...
I do agree with you. I think a play-in at the end of the season for the last couple seeds, I think that's a great idea. I think that, that would eliminate tanking.
Well, then it has a motivation to it, and it's also... be fun. Like, what's the point behind it? Is it to get more...
It's extra trophy.
Is it revenue? Is it trophy? Because I think the idea of the... play into the tournament, at least like you buy rest for the, there's advantages for the teams that finish top six because you get a bit more rest. There's advantages for the fan bases of the teams that aren't making it because you have less reason to tank. And I think that's a direction in which more games would go to the same outcome, which is all everybody trying to make the playoffs and make win the NBA finals.
Yeah, and if you're in the bottom seeds, then you have to play a few extra games and that's the what you get for not being a higher seed. And that's fine.
Are you guys in pools? Basketball pools?
No.
Not really.
Okay, so like the one of the worst things in pools, and I've been like the commissioner of pools, and I've just been like an active owner, is that some teams just give up.
Right.
Especially if you're in like a keeper pool where you can trade, you know, a guy you paid too much for in the auction for a prospect that, you know, no one expected to do well. The problem is that a lot of that stuff happens really early, and then half the league's not paying attention. So that's what tanking is. So anything you can do to like reduce that, I think would be for the better. And that, you know, changing the draft odds is one way to do that. But I think the more teams that you have thinking about having that feel like they have the potential to get in there, then it would be something. But in the middle of the season, for what? Is it like as a replacement for the All-Star thing, I think you wouldn't be able to shake that that's what it is. It's still kind of a showcase thing.
Here's my idea that I just came up with.
I like that best kind.
See, playoffs doesn't change at all.
Right.
It's 1-8 as we are.
I'm with you so far.
The lottery teams
that
do not make the playoffs
play, for the first
play a tournament for the first pick.
Oh, see, that's amazing. That is fantastic.
And then if you make the finals of this tournament, you get the second pick at worst.
So the teams that don't make the playoffs, the winner of the lottery. Pick. Yes. I love that. I love it so much. You just came up with that just now?
Off top of his head.
That's one of the, honestly, that's exact. You just solved sports.
Brilliant. Adam Silver, call me.
I'm not kidding. No, that's one of the best ideas I've ever heard.
I don't know how that would work basketball. Like seating-wise, but like I guess just record. But
you sort of end up – the only hole I can poke in that is you end up with
– a good team getting a pick.
No, I don't think that's bad at all. I think you end up with teams that are always going to be bad, right? The worst team in the league then loses in the first round. So they finish last and picked 14th.
But
that franchise is
– Well, maybe you protect them to a certain point. Maybe it's about like the – the top two,
the top bottom eight teams or whatever it is.
I mean, it's tricky. You get too obtuse with it. It's going to be, you know.
Maybe it's the bottom four in each conference play for like the top eight picks.
But I do like the idea that.
But then you're at the point where do I tank to get into the tournament?
That's true.
I mean,
if you're a good team, if you're one of those teams that's good, too good to be in the lottery, but not good enough to win the title, do you then try to get in the tournament?
Well, see, theoretically, but at least you're playing.
You do double play-ins. You do one play-in to get. There's a cutoff. One play-in is to get into the playoffs. One play-in.
It's going
to
be tough because the end of the first season they try this is going to end later than the next season starts.
It's true.
But I think I think it's a good thing because you're still trying to compete for the playoffs, and then you have a what's the word? Consolation. Consolation prize of at least trying to compete for something else to win that.
Yeah.
Anything that continues. The desire to have a good team is important.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah,
look at what the Knicks did this year. Like they stopped playing Cantor because he was too good for them, and then they
still didn't get the pick.
Is that any good for basketball? Like
no, and
no, you end up.
I think you're right. There is some holes in that. Like trying to figure out how to do it, but I think there needs to be being bad shouldn't be a motivation.
Yeah, and it's amazing you could do it during the first round of the playoffs. There's already like you just have. Yeah.
No one pays attention.
What do you do? Like one loss and you're out? Like you do it like a full.
I think you do it as quickly. You wouldn't want it to be seven games. 16. Series. Maybe the best finals, best of
five. Yeah, no, one and you're done.
Do it G League style. You get like it's one and done, and then the final is best of three.
I mean, I think that's a fantastic.
It's a winner.
Idea.
Or
NBA is the only league I would trust to do this with.
Absolutely. Or bring in relegation. If you want to make things like European soccer, relegation. If you're the worst three teams in the NBA get sent to the G League, the top teams in the G League get boosted up.
Affiliations sort of make that hard.
They do, but get rid of them then.
Fair enough.
Okay, I'll make some calls.
You want motivation to not be bad?
Yeah.
Stay in the NBA.
So what I don't know enough about
the bottom three teams in the team get sent down to the league.
I'm doing this on behalf of everybody listening in case they don't know.
So the bottom three teams, Sean can correct me. I think it's I don't know if every league does this or if it's just the Premier League, but bottom three teams get sent to like the tier below.
Wow.
And I think it's the top two teams in the tier below go up automatically, and then the next four play a four-team tournament to see the third team to go up.
Would the best G League team even win one game
absolutely,
against an NBA?
Absolutely
team?
Not. They'd right, have to okay. revamp the entire so, yeah. system.
We'd have to get like a farm system.
Yeah, you'd have to revamp AAA, everything. You know. But it is the best motivation.
We got to start somewhere.
Not be bad.
Yeah. What if it was just like you just get folded out? Like you're just done as a franchise.
The team is over.
Here's an interesting one. Which jersey would you like the Raptors to wear when they win the championship?
I assume this is like of the current ones available. Realistically.
Does it have to be one of ours? Does it have to be the same sport?
Let's pretend you're playing 2K and you can pick any jersey that has ever been in the team.
Obviously the purples.
I think you're home whites.
I think home white and red. If we're going with the ones that are possible for them to wear, home whites are my
answer. But like even purples included, I think home whites.
Oh, no, purples.
This current team has nothing to do with the purples.
I know, but I just like them the most.
They have no connection to the purples.
I'm going
to
go with the red north.
I don't like the red north.
I think the home white with Raptors.
Yeah, that's good.
The chevrons.
You could talk, actually, you know what? Either of the OVO uniforms, just so Drake is as loud about it as possible.
Yeah,
and
sure.
It bothers everyone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Black and gold doesn't do it as much for me.
No, it
absolutely doesn't. But
didn't love the Welcome to Toronto jerseys this year.
I like the white and golds.
I like the red version of that jersey with the most. I think the three main jerseys, the red one is the better one, the best one that I can think of too. There's just something about that pops like the white one doesn't. But I'd go red.
So win it in Oracle is what you're saying.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Win it in Oracle. Yeah.
Where do you think Guy Fieri? Eight when he came to Toronto.
Wahlburgers for sure.
I like to believe
absolutely it was Wahlburgers.
I like to believe that when the cameras aren't on, he's like just a salad, please. Like just
he's at STK.
Absolutely
like, asking for things without salt and rosemary. Like my stepmother.
You'd have to.
I can't do rosemary. Sorry.
To survive, you'd have to.
You'd want that.
You'd have to eat like reasonably.
But here's the idea thing. He ate at fucking Wahlburgers and like Jack Astor's for sure.
Are you saying that because that's like his first time going to a Wahlburgers?
No, because it's like a dumb franchise. He's like, oh, I know the owner.
Yeah.
I can get a free meal.
Nothing to do with Toronto the least. Yeah. I think Jack Astor's is right on the money. Does he know about Dave and Buster's? Because they have food and skee ball. You know what I mean? So that could be fun for him.
You got Rec Room?
Yeah, there you go.
Sure. Yeah. I think that's too high class.
I like the idea that he
Rec
only
room
eats
is
at
too
national
high class.
For Guy Fieri.
I like the idea he only eats at national menus. Like,
yeah. Didn't realize we were anti Guy Fieri.
I'm celebrating his lifestyle. Yeah. I'm just inventing it.
Nothing wrong with a Wahlburger.
Yeah. You had a Wahlburger? They're great for a delayed flight.
I've actually never had one. Are they good?
They're great for a delayed plane ride. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
There's one at the airport. They had one.
So Guy Fieri just eats the things that you can find
airport
at the airport.
Airport food I buy. That I believe.
Yeah, there you go. There's Manchu Walk. There's A&W's. It's great. And then there's like one you've never heard of. Like Gertie's. It's like Greek food. You don't know what the hell it is.
Oh, boy. Okay, this one. Okay. If you woke up tomorrow and you were a 15th century English nobleman, this is the kind of question we get.
Who? From whom?
Twitter.
From whom?
Twitter.
Right, okay.
You woke up tomorrow as a 15th century English nobleman and you still knew what we know today about diet and exercise. Would you try to live healthy or would you be like, eh, fuck it?
Is it possible to live the diet wise? Is that even possible? Isn't that just like the fucking keto diet over the hell?
Here's the thing.
They don't have fridges.
In the 15th, century, people weren't like, you know, you have to eat local and exercise. That was just the only thing you could do with your life.
Right.
That's right. You're not getting sushi.
You're not. You're exactly right. You're not out there being like, what's on Just Eat today that I can grab?
Who's got a promotional code I could use?
Yeah, it's like, did we kill enough boar?
And you're not spending your free time like watching Netflix. Like walking around and eating the food that is near you is the only option you would have.
No artisanal sandwich.
Yeah. Boy, if I woke up tomorrow as a 15th century nobleman and I knew what I knew about my life now, just not dying would be my only like. How do I survive out here?
I would die so fast.
How do I do anything?
Isn't that the main concern that they had? Like, it's not so much about food access in terms. You know, they obviously there's no GMOs or anything like that. But wasn't it more just about the constant threat of death by plague
or anything?
Yeah,
or
just infection. Like, it's more about medicine.
I know about medicine, but they don't.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
And I know about medicine, but I'm not a doctor, so I can't
mean
do anything.
You can just make the medicine. Like, yeah. You don't have the expertise to make it, as per the question.
I think the only thing I could do were I to wake up tomorrow in that, I'd have to just invent sports that I liked. I'm like, today we're inventing baseball because I am bored.
Sure. I think my move would be to get rich as rich as possible using your knowledge of other things so that you can sort of start Uber Eats if you you know what I mean? By horse and buggy, because I'm not chasing
try
after.
Try to explain the car, though, and like it won't work. I will say one thing, the going into the past question, the one thing I do always wonder about if I'm watching like Game of Thrones or like a period piece, I'm always curious as to what like not even food. I want to know what like beer tasted like back then.
Shit, probably.
Probably shit, but I'm just curious. I'm
now,
just
do you
so
think that's
curious.
Just because we're so used to like things having a bit of a slight sour berry tinge?
Yeah. Do you have any sours? Like
I mean,
that?
Hey,
or is it more just about
my heaven? No sours in your beer? Perfect. All the hops and none of the sour.
Become a sours guy, out of spite for you.
You don't even like them.
They're fine.
It's very nice during
one
the summer,
okay.
which is never coming, you know.
So, evidently.
Yeah.
That being said, I'm currently sweating.
Again,
so
part of the conspiracy to get Kawhi to LA. Like, weather machine. Hello, Adam Silver. He's already got, you know, the Destro look. Yeah, I'm not buying
Adam Silver controlling the weather.
Yeah, exactly.
Overblown, I think, the weather thing. Anyway.
I'm fully on Team He Stay.
Feels like he's staying.
Oh, I was just concerned about climate
course,
change in
course.
General.
Yeah.
You think I'm still behind
machine.
Climate change?
Yeah, it's just a theory I'm floating out.
I like this one. This was sort of buzzing around. Let's say you were given 5 championships and you had to spread them around to your favorite teams. How do you divide the 5 championships?
Have to give one to the Leafs.
Only one.
Oh,
one
not in basketball.
Only.
Okay.
Your favorite teams.
Any 5 teams in the world, you can give championships.
I would give exactly one to the Leafs.
Exactly one Maple Leafs. Could not agree more.
Can you do it retroactively?
No. Future. No. It's going forward.
Because I was
going
to say the Expos.
R.I.P.
You know what I mean?
JK is the Expos.
Oh, you hate the Expos?
I lived in Montreal for too long.
Oh, you hate them out of love?
No.
You grew to hate them?
No. I lived there after they were gone. I just don't like the Expos. Any Montreal sports.
I don't think I've
away.
Ever heard that before.
It's like
because of the fans?
Yeah. It's like Boston sports. They can all go to hell.
I could see that for the Habs if you...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's all the same people.
But the Expos, they didn't win anything.
Exactly. And they haven't let us forget about it for fucking 15 years. Take up a section of my stadium because once a year... Get out of here, Jonah Carey.
Wow. Yeah, did you read his book? I love that book.
I have not.
Oh, it's a great book.
Anyway.
Jake's never afraid to go in on Montreal.
Yeah. Wow, this is a take I don't think I've ever heard. I'm excited about it.
It's also the place that's employed me in the last 4 years.
Right, so. There you go. I would say give one to the Pelicans after what Anthony Davis put them through this last season.
No team out of Toronto is getting any of my 5 championships.
After Saturday.
Well, Toronto's going to win one this year, so.
You don't need to gift it.
We're worried about
it.
I
love that.
I like that. Yeah. After Saturday, I think I'd have to give one to my Tottenham Hotspur boys because that sucked.
Interesting.
Just one.
Man.
Exactly one.
I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you. One to the Leafs just because the city needs it.
Right.
And stop all the nonsense and the party would be fun.
I got one. Brooklyn Nets.
Boy, oh boy.
So wow, you're going off the board.
They've got one. I'm just going to stick to basketball. Well, someone suggested to me that Kevin Durant could just as easily go to the Nets instead of the Knicks, and it blew my mind and then started, and it's made perfect sense
ever
since.
It does make a lot of sense.
It makes sense for him. It makes sense for Kyrie. You know what I mean? He's from New Jersey. They used to be in New Jersey. There's a connection. I'd say the Nets so that they have more to brag about than the Knicks. That makes it even
like
harder.
That.
You know what I mean? To get
like
behind
that.
The Knicks. I would never give one to the Knicks. They'll be insufferable if they ever get to another finals. I'm in like a group chat with 3 Knicks fans, and they're just the biggest haters on the planet. Hi, guys. How you doing? And
I've said this many times. My ideal world is the Knicks as the perennial 7-8 seed.
Just never.
I want them always.
Over the hump?
I want them always sneaking into the playoffs and thinking that they got it.
That would be a dream for them. I think.
I know. That's
what
the thing is. They would love it, and then they would get old really quick. After 2 years, they'd be like, "All right, let's take a step forward." I want them in perennial 7th seed. That's
Speaking
my dream.
Of,
Knicks.
Of hubris, they could be. They could be competitive every year, but the hubris of that.
They could add Durant. Who knows?
Yeah,
yeah.
Mine's very basic. It's 1 to the Leafs, 2 to the Raptors and Jays.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Not selfish.
Yeah, I think I'm 1 Leafs, 1 Spurs. I'm going to go 1 Raptors because they're going to win one this year, and then 2 the Jays.
Huh. Spurs. Look at you now.
I know. Who would have thought?
Look at you now giving Spurs a title. You got
to
love it.
But I want the Pelicans to trade Davis and then win the championship next year.
You want Zion to lead them there.
I want Zion, and I want them to trade Davis to the Knicks so they get R.J. Barrett, and then they play together, and then they win a championship.
Wow.
That's what I would like.
That'd be fun.
If you were a professional athlete, how would your personal apparel line be branded?
Oh,
for as example, HGMH, or your every Raptor having a toiletry bag with their logo on it.
Mine would be HGMH because I'm an actual short person, and right. Marcus Stroman is not.
It's a long-running feud. Marcus Stroman isn't actually short.
You have one. I have to think about this for a second.
I'm going to go with obviously the play bald movement would be strong.
Nice play bald.
Thank you very much.
I would do like the NBA logo, but doubled over holding onto my shorts, I think, like trying to catch the universal sign of catching my breath because I'm tired.
Yeah, and that's the play bald would be like a half moon crescent that was just a bald head.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Thank you.
That is nice.
Thank you.
I think mine would just be like, if it's not stealing HMH, just like a guy sitting with his head in his hands.
Like, ugh. As an athlete, you would still be the same way?
Oh, I'd be
probably worse.
Kevin Durant's whole like I take everything personally and I'm very sad about it, I relate to that entirely.
I totally do too. He's just a guy on the internet too much.
You know how it goes. You get 100 good reviews. You don't pay attention. You get one bad one. You're like, I'm the.
Oh yeah, it's the worst. Terrible. Yeah,
yeah. Just guy with his hands just says, ugh.
John Doyle called me a hoser in a review of a TV show that I was on like 12 years ago, and it just cried. Still just there. Think about
it's
that.
It's still there.
And
right?
I'm not even like bitter at John Doyle. I'm just hoser.
Remembered his name immediately.
Yeah. No, it's more. I'm hurt. I'm not bitter. Yeah, I'm still in pain.
Of course.
There's anything wrong with hosers.
Is it just me, or do you guys feel like the rest of the U.S. media looked up Toronto on Wikipedia the day before Game 1, and that's basically the extent of the knowledge of the Raptors in the city?
I think probably, but I don't think that's
person by person basis.
I don't think it's unique to
Charles Barkley seems to know
Toronto.
Shit.
I think if
Jalen too.
Jalen.
I think if Milwaukee Billups. Was in the finals, that attitude, like not for guys like Charles and Jalen, like guys who don't know, would be the same. I don't think it's a Canada-Toronto thing. Maybe it's a little bigger because of that.
Yeah, I think the fact that we got media attention all year this year because of Kawhi kind of led to that. But
like most mainstream people don't follow things outside of their own city.
But then again, I haven't seen much. Has there been much embarrassing, cringy Canadian coverage?
No more than there is usually.
Salmon and maple
not
syrup.
Especially.
No, not really.
People, they love to comment on Jurassic Park. That's the big one.
Which is cool, and they should. It's great.
Yeah.
What's the best / funniest trash talk you've ever heard a spectator yell at a player?
I'm a big fan. I know you're a big fan of this too, Zoobs, of very specific information.
Yeah. Like what?
So I look at the Wikipedia page and just yell, like, find out the name of their like sister-in-law.
And just yell
at
them?
Just say her name is disappointed in you. And it just gets one of these, just like a little look of like, what?
You've actually seen it affect them before?
It doesn't affect them, but it's just like it catches them off guard.
Right.
It works best in a bullpen outfield setting.
Sure. Where you can actually
they're just sitting there.
Heard by them.
Yeah, I did that. I sat behind a bullpen. I want to say the Cardinals. And I would just like tell them that their high school team sucked. Because it's all out there. It's all out there. You can look up their stats from any year.
It's not offensive, so you're not that guy in the crowd being like.
Yeah. Oh, I hate that. There's no reason to.
It's awful.
There's no reason to actually hurl epithets or even just like sometimes a swear, like the cursing has gotten exponentially more stressful at the game, like more belligerent and aggressive, I find, during the playoffs. Like it's way more like can we swear on this show?
Please.
I guess you have.
I insist.
Well, there's a difference between what the fuck, ref, and like, ref, you fucking suck, I'll fuck.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Like
I'm absolutely the guy who, while watching a game, will like yell fuck out of frustration, but not at anyone.
Yeah,
and I think that's fine.
That's the difference between like a foul and a technical, right? You can protest a foul, you just can't say you fucking suck.
Exactly.
To the ref, right?
That's fair.
I like to ask if I can't, it works best in baseball, but if I could ever sit close enough where I thought they could hear me at the free throw line, just asking if they got my invitation to my barbecue that I'm throwing. So like if Clay Thompson was at the free throw line, I'd be like, Clay, did you get my invitation to my barbecue? Clay. And then if he doesn't hear me, then I'd be like, Draymond, do you know if Clay got the invitation to my barbecue? Do you know why he's acted so messed up? He hasn't gotten back to me. Draymond. So that's fun.
I'm also a big fan of a friend of the show, Christopher Lund. When he sits in the 500s at a Blue Jays game and there's a strike call that the crowd disagrees with, he just yells as loud as he can, I disagree. And it makes me laugh every single time.
We'll close with this.
That's good.
Your favorite movie theater is playing your favorite movie and you've won two tickets. The only caveat is you must bring a Raptor as your guest. Which Raptor, what movie?
Favorite movie theater?
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite movie?
No, I couldn't imagine.
The one where the thing I want to see is playing is my favorite movie theater.
Anyway, I want to go see Hobbs and Shaw with Marc Gasol. Follow that.
Wait, that's your favorite movie?
Guarantee it.
Sick.
It does look great.
There's no way it's not. I was like, I don't know if I want to see this. And then I saw the trailer where they pulled a helicopter out of the sky with a grappling hook. And I was like, yeah.
I think I want to go see like...
Me and Marcus all
I want to see like The Raid with Danny Green. And because I feel like Danny Green would get really into Indonesian martial arts films if you showed him a good one.
I'm going to watch The Favorite with OG Ananobi.
It's a very quiet time.
And you can figure that out for yourself. Yeah, we'll just be
nice, quiet,
looking to each other and just like smirking. A lot of eyebrow stuff.
OG Ananobi, we have a good account, is a hilarious guy.
Yeah, absolutely. He's got the best. He feels like the way like the Beastie Boys used to be in interviews. Like, I feel like he's always kind of making fun of it.
Totally.
Even if he's got the straightest face, he'll just be like, yeah, just practicing. And then that's it. And he'll just like kind of wait in that silence and enjoy the awkwardness that he's causing.
Yes.
I can't wait for him to come back.
Me too. I miss him.
He's gonna, I think that's my hot take. He's going to come back and have one game where he blows everybody away, whether it's a defensively or hitting like a clutch three. Maybe irrationally, I think he's coming back.
I love it.
I think he's coming back. I'm just concerned.
One last thing left to do, Jake.
Yes, indeed.
After this, we have the flagship portion of the show, Sad or Not Sad, after the break. Right, nothing to do but close the show. Nice and easy. Flagship portion of the show.
Yes.
Available for purchase.
Please purchase it.
Yet to happen after months of begging. I talk about
being employed every week. Someone purchased a goddamn begging, show. Oh, right? My God.
I'll go first.
All right.
I'm going to go with a rare sad.
Hey.
Yeah.
Is that the first one of the new season?
I had the video game one.
Oh, that's right.
Dylan remembers. Always remembers. You weren't here. I lost a video game save that I was really... meant a lot to me.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Thank you very much.
What was the game?
It was NHL 19.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I moved on.
Okay.
I moved on. You know what? I got to get back in the gym. I really slacked.
You were doing so well.
I was doing so well, and I could like pound out a 5K if I wanted to.
Really?
Yeah, I know. I just can't.
Like, I've done that in my life.
It takes time, but if you're like... If you're dead, I was unemployed and I had nothing else to do and I felt so bad about myself. I just ran and ran and ran, and going on the treadmill was the only thing that brought me an actual peace and it cleared my head. And I have gotten so lazy because I love to be lazy and I love to eat lasagna.
Lasagna is your thing?
Yeah.
Is that your go-to?
I love anything with cheese.
Oh, are you making it or are you?
My fiance made it and I enjoyed it.
Fantastic.
But like I have this important thing. My mom's birthday gift is coming up in... 13 days.
That's right. Game 7.
I know. The same day as Game 7, my mom's birthday gift, which is family photos. We're going to get these, our family's meal all together.
Are you blowing the surprise right here? Oh, no. She has to be in the photos.
She knows. Yeah. But like now I'm like, shit, I'm going to look terrible and I feel really bad about it. And it's not motivating me because I'm wallowing in it instead of dealing with it.
I'm so afraid of not being in shape. Like, I'm sure you have this too. For the wedding, not being in shape is going to be.
Buddy, terrifying. I'm inside a year now.
I know.
I know that it's there, and I'm trying to hold myself accountable by saying it on the air that I know that I have to do it.
Oh.
Smash cut to my fiance nodding vigorously in the background, going, "Yeah, you do."
Wait a second, you have to get in shape for your wedding?
Of course. Photos last forever.
That's the photo of me on the wall until I'm dead.
Yeah.
And then when I'm dead, it's the photo of me at my funeral.
Weddings, man.
I know.
It's a racket.
I
mean,
congratulations. Thank you. But geez, that seems like an awful lot of pressure to put what's supposed to be the happiest memory of your life.
You have to get in shape for
nothing,
it.
Nothing says pressure about weddings. Yeah. Totally stress-free.
Yeah. Are there people who talk about their weddings like it was like their fifth? It was good. It was in the top 10 of happiest days.
Absolutely.
The ninth happiest day of my life.
I don't have to do anything. I don't have to.
But you feel that you need to.
I feel not great about myself, and I know that I will see the photo and be like, way to go.
Yeah.
You blew it.
I think you look terrific.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I'm holding it in.
You can run 5Ks.
No, I can't.
I mean, you have run 5Ks.
Correct.
Okay, I get this segment now. I like it. I love you guys. This is nice. Okay.
I'm holding myself accountable by saying it on the air.
I like it.
The only way to do it is to get back in and do it. I just really don't want to.
It's the worst. Why would you want to?
It sucks.
It's not fun.
Why would you want to?
Even though I know that there is a level you get to where it is fun.
The best thing
I've been there.
The best thing that I've acquired in the last like 10 years is an exercise bike in my apartment so I can play video games and ride an exercise bike. And it makes it so much better.
You can do it at the same time?
Yeah.
I love to.
Hands free.
Yeah.
I love hands-free
bike. It's a bike.
Yeah,
you're
right.
You're just pedaling.
I love to eat chips and cake and cookies. And
I like when there's Nutella in the house.
Oh, my God.
I just love that. I just love to eat bad food. I'm not even eating well either. That's the only other problem is I'm not pairing it. I'm eating poorly and then not working it
off. You had like a whole
I know.
Routine.
This is why it is making me sad. Because I have gotten out of it and I cannot get back in because it's not fun to eat well and exercise. It just sucks.
It's not. It's really, really not.
I'm trying to do the same thing now.
Fucking hate it. Yeah, it anyway, sucks. That's my sad. Which one of you is most ready to go next?
I'll go.
Yeah, okay.
Are you sad or not sad? I'm going not sad. Not sad for sad reasons. Classic Goldie.
This is the Jake. I'm not sad because I'm sad.
Well documented on this show, my struggles with being an unemployed actor person. The little things I've really come to appreciate of being constantly stressed beyond belief. First week of the month, I love now. Because it means that I survived another month.
Mm.
And you get, like, the last 4 days of May was just, like, a constant panic attack. And then, just because, like, you know, rent, bills, etc.
Yeah.
Constant panic attack. June 1st happens. You pay them. I did the fun thing where I paid them drunk have to think about it.
Oh.
Which is a thing I am going to do from now
on. Get blackout and then pay bills.
Basically, yeah.
That's very responsible.
That didn't go wrong.
Because then it's just like, it's done. And I have to think
about it. What's the worst you could do? You just overpay your phone bill and then you have credit.
Credit, exactly. Yeah. So I did it Saturday night. And now I have like I know in 5 days this is gone.
But
that's what I'm enjoying. You get like 5 to 6 days, just like it's a whole other month now.
Mm-hmm.
Now the new goal is to survive till the next month.
Viva la June.
Yeah. And so it's just, I've grown to appreciate these like little respites from panic.
Little and cigarette.
There. Yeah, exactly. And it's not like I'm going out and like be like, first week of the month, I'm going to go spend like a ton of money that I don't have. But it's just like that nice first week of like, okay, another 30 days before the panic starts again.
Yeah.
Which is bad that's the reality.
It is what it is.
But good that I'm in that 1 week of like, okay. I can calm down for 4 or 5 days.
Beautiful.
Which is nice.
And it's the hammer. Sad or not sad?
I mean, you guys are making me not sad because you're sharing the sadness.
That's what we do, baby.
If you had heard the first go-round of this show, holy crap.
Oh, my God.
I got dumped like every 3 weeks. It was awful.
It was dark. It was a dark time.
I feel like we should have started with this segment so I could get to know you guys better. I feel like there's a lot of pressure. I mean, I'll tie it back to basketball because, please, honestly, some things are too difficult to talk about. So,
of course.
And I appreciate you guys sharing this shockingly candid stuff. I was not expecting. It's really great.
Thank you. Also, this is nothing.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if you ever have me back on, I'll be more prepared to say something maybe more personal. But I will say that just being able to be like the fact of the last 2 months and following the Raptors in the playoffs and even just having like, it's interesting because on some level it's like, what are we cheering for when we're cheering for sports? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that I might cry. Here we go. I think that it's like the only thing. You guys are jerks.
You won't be the first person to cry.
Sure. Okay. Great. Okay. So I'm gonna say it. So all the things I might not like about myself or whatever it is, whatever thing that we put on sports. Oh, I can't believe this is going. You know. There's something to it, and there's so much trash around it, and there's ticket prices, and there's like, you know, exploitive stuff, and people, racial slurs, they're yelling all this stuff. But on some level, like, you're rooting for, it's an extension of community, I feel like, to a certain extent, right? And so to have this thing to talk about, to bond about with friends, obviously, you know, when it gets too rowdy in a group of people you don't know, it gets a little intimidating to me. But like, to have people that you can bond with over something like this, it's like we put all these expectations on sports to fill something in our lives that isn't there. You know what I mean? I hate you guys. This is
so
corny.
No, it's so good.
We did this last week. Don't worry.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm saying. I think just the fact that like it's when it's good, it's just like the best feeling. And that's why I feel like even if they lose close games, it's just fun to be a part of that. And especially with the access you have to see these players as human beings and not just millionaires you can get mad at because they're not perfect. And you know what I mean? Like, I think that's what we want athletes to be, perfect, because our lives aren't. And so I think I'm not sad because it's going so well. And hopefully that perspective then comes and you go, okay, well, what else do I have in my life? You know what I mean? Like that it's not the only thing. So hopefully that's it.
Yeah, beautiful.
That's a fucking Sportsfeld.
That is a fucking Sportsfeld.
We are going to be back on Thursday.
I guess so.
After episode, game 3.
Yes.
And then next week.
Next Monday.
Is episode 100.
I don't know what that noise was. That was the only thing I could do.
It was a kazoo.
It was supposed to be a celebratory thing, but it just sounded like the X-Files theme a little bit.
Anyway, episode 100 is next week. It's going to be during a playoff game.
Yes. We're gonna have, in and around.
We have some big plans. We're going to have a party. We're going to have as many people come through as we possibly can. It's going to be a wild time. We're still in the planning stages.
Put it this way. If you were a fan of version 1.0 and you're like, hey, we haven't heard them drink and do a show in a long time. You might like...
The audio quality has been too good. Let's get back to the old school.
I like their lo-fi stuff more.
Well, it's coming back. So stick tuned for that. We got game 3, and then we have episode 100. We have more excellent guests. We have an absolute pleasure this week to have Ennis Ezra on the show.
What a great show this was.
Thank you, guys, for having me.
This was the fucking soul of the show laid bare. This is exactly what we hope for.
I'm going to go on limb. Wow. I think this is our best show.
This is up there.
This is my best show. Yeah.
Guys.
This is a great fucking show.
And thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Is there anything you'd like to plug?
Oh, no, I'm good.
Watch TV.
TV sometimes. I'm on there. That's about it. There's nothing really to plug right now.
Awesome. You are welcome back anytime, Raptors or no Raptors. What a pleasure it has been for us and for our listeners, I'm sure. And we finally say thank you all very much for listening to Sportsfeld.
Sportsfeld!